Welcome to the Pneuma Church podcast. Wherever you are in the world, we are so glad you've joined us. Our prayer is that this message will reveal more of who our Heavenly Father is as we all grow deep in intimacy with Jesus. Enjoy this message.
If you've got a Bible, why don't you open that up to John chapter 13? I'm really excited to bring the word today. I'm going to go to John 13. Once you're there, we're just going to pray. We're going to open our hearts to what the Holy Spirit is going to do tonight. Why don't you lift your hands if you want to. Father, we just thank you right now that your word, Lord, changes us. It changes us. Father, I thank you, Lord, that for what you have done on the cross. I thank you, Lord, that you have given us, Lord, salvation. I thank you, Lord, that you have made everything, every means necessary, Lord, for us to be saved, Father, and to live saved has been given to us in the person of Christ. And we are asking, as we open your scriptures, as we look at your words, Jesus, that you would change us, you would shape us, you would mold us, and you would make us more like you. Someone say amen with faith. Amen. Amen. I want to talk to you tonight, a sermon that I've been pondering on for a couple of weeks called Jesus' Second Last Commandment. Jesus' Second Last Commandment. We've been going through a series for the past couple of weeks prior to this, our Missions Month. You may have heard the phrase thrown around about making Jesus' last command our first priority. It's a good thing. It's a good thing to do. Go on all the world. Preach the gospel, make sure that you make disciples, teach them of everything that I've commanded you. And we love this. Evangelicals love this. Share the faith, baptize people and see God's family and his kingdom expand. It's a good thing. That's what we've been learning past couple of weeks. But I wonder, we think about those commandments a lot recently, but I want to ask you a question as I open up the word tonight is, when was the last time you considered Jesus' second last commandment? To love one another. Before Jesus left, he had the most important meal and discussion with his disciples that he ever had in his 3 years with them. He told them some of the most important things that he wanted them to take away that would mark the church, that should mark the church, and should mark every single believer. He says this, end of chapter 13, and in verse 34, he says this to Peter, James, John, all the 12 of them, including Judas. He says, is Judas there? Judas is gone at this point. Verse 34, a new commandment I give to you, that you would love one another. Just as I have loved you, you are to love one another. Verse 35, by this, every person, all people, will know that you are my disciples if you love one another. I want to speak to you tonight around that simple thing. Love one another. And number two, as I have loved you. Very simple sermon. I wrestle with simple sermons. If you know me, I love theology. I wanted to preach something much more. I was like, Lord, what do you want me to preach? Something more complex? Can I preach something Old Testament? Can I take some complex theology and pack it down? And can I grow in all these things and learn how to articulate all these things? And I felt as I was praying this invitation from God that we forget, and I feel this invitation today, that we forget most of the time in our walk in Christianity, his second last commandment. When was the last time you considered this? For many of us, this is the gateway that we open Christianity into. We know the love of God. You said yes one time, you slipped up your hand and you gave your life to God because you felt so compelled by his love. Maybe the first couple of years of Christianity felt like you were enamored and growing in this sense of the love of God. You read Romans and you were just in awe of what Jesus has done on the cross, how he loved you, he gave himself for you, and then he saved you and you gave your life to him. You're like, this is amazing. And then suddenly, you came to a Pentecostal church and suddenly people start emphasizing different things. And not that they're bad, but we lose emphasis. It's not that we've emphasized other things. We've lost emphasis on something that Jesus says, this is the one commandment, the one thing that you are to do is to love one another. So that's what I want to talk to you in the next 30 minutes. I'm going to talk to you about those two things, loving one another as I have loved you. If you flip over to 1 John, we're in the Gospel of John at the moment, but towards the end of the Bible, the letter of 1 John. No one, I think, in the group of those 11 disciples who were with Jesus understood it more than John the disciple. Jesus had the 11 disciples at this point with him, minus Judas, John seems to have caught something that the other disciples, they caught, but it seems that it impacts him so deeply, he writes letters about this to churches later on. And in 1 John, I'm going to actually get my sermon out. I've got my notes. I've been preaching that out. Sorry. 1 John, in chapter 4, if you want to turn there with me, he begins to unpack some of the key theology around why that's important. He was so impacted by Jesus's last supper with them, the last commandment, that he said that this is the thing that should shape churches. He's writing in 1 John chapter 4, this letter, this is years and years after this supper with Jesus. He's writing to a church community and they've had a bunch of false teachers come in. They've essentially been teaching people, hey, I've got these new revelations. I know the real gospel, and they're teaching people like this, they call it Gnosticism, that Jesus didn't really come in the flesh. If you've read 1 John, you notice these things where he says that this is how you know if the Spirit is from God. Anyone who says Jesus is in the flesh, that's why he says stuff like this, is he's trying to correct a lot of these misunderstandings. They were like, Jesus was just a ghost or a God appearing as man, and they were confusing these disciples. And the people, that the Christians that John was writing to, were distressed. They're going, well, do we actually know the full gospel? And he writes to them, he says, you know the gospel. It was presented to you from the beginning. And he reminds them, he says, this is no new commandment that I write to you, but this is the same one that I've had. 1 John chapter 4, he says this, and he says, he's summarizing literally the whole Christian message to them again, to remind them, to encourage them. 1 John 4, verse 7, he says this, beloved, that's every single person there, let us love one another. For love is from God, and whoever loves has been born of God and knows God. And then he says this in verse 8, anyone who does not love does not know God, because God is love. Many mic drop moments that John just weaves into his letters. It's really interesting. If anyone does not love, you don't know God. All of these false prophets that were coming to this community that John's writing to were saying, oh, I know God. I've got this big revelation from God. And he's saying, you will be able to tell if someone knows God if they love. Essentially what he's saying is, if you knew God, you would love. Because he justifies it in this one thing. Why? Because God is love. Verse 9, we'll keep reading. In this, the love of God was made manifest among us, that God sent his only son into the world that we might live through him. And this is love. It was not that we've loved God, but that he loved us. He sent his son to be the propitiation, the atonement is what that word means, for our sins. Verse 11, beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. No one has ever seen God, yet if we love one another, God abides in us and his love is perfected in us. This is the goal of Christianity. I wonder if someone to ask you what the goal you think of your Christian walk is. What is maturity as a Christian? What if you could narrow it down to one thing? And if Jesus could, if John could, if his disciples could, if the whole scriptures could, they would summarize the goal as this one word, love. Love. We are measured in our maturity by our love. Our love for God. But John says, he says, really, if anyone says that I love God and hates his brother, he says that person doesn't even know God. If I love God and hate my brother, he says, you don't even love God then. This is the goal of Christianity. It's actually simple tonight. I feel this invitation, Jesus, bring us back into, this is the simplicity of our call, is to do these two things well. You've done Christianity well. I think sometimes we move past this too quickly, but this is our goal, to love one another. Verse 19 in the same chapter says this, we love. Why? Because he first loved us. I just said this, but he says, anyone who says, I love God and hates his brother, he is a liar. For he who loves his he who does not love his brother, who he can see, cannot love God who he cannot see. And this is the commandment. He brings it back. He says, this is the commandment we have from him. Whoever loves God must also love his brother. Friend, I would need you to know this one thing. If you listen to nothing else tonight, is that this: God is love. And if you knew that, you would love your brother. You would love one another. I wonder if the issue that we have to love hard people in our lives is not a, it's not a sufficiency thing. It's not, do I have enough love in me? Is it, do I need more endurance? It is a love issue. It is, do I know God really loves me? Because if you knew God, you would know this one thing: he is love. And I mean this as an encouragement tonight, is that all of the things that we can begin to be distracted by, measure our maturity by in Christianity, we can begin to become complicated and Christianity becomes weighed down. But this one thing you do well, you've done everything needed: love one another. I want to, I'll comment on some things. I think like we begin to, I remember when I began to, after a couple of years of me following Jesus, I began to look at other people who are further along than me. In the faith. I saw them prophesying. I saw them speaking in tongues. I saw them praying for healing. And actually, I mean, I was going, wow. Like, and I'm not preaching cessationism, by the way. I'm all for spiritual gifts. I am like, anyone who is cessationist, I'm like, you please need to read the scriptures. Please don't do that. Anyway, what I'm saying is, if we turn over, I haven't given the scriptures for this on the screen, but John 1 Corinthians 13, Paul takes up this theme of love, and he begins to comment on people who think they're growing in maturity in the Christian walk. And he begins to comment on them. And in, this is a scripture that you've probably heard read at a wedding. It's probably not the best wedding scripture to read because it's not about that. But 1 Corinthians 13, he picks up that same theme, love, the measurement of our maturity in how you know God, to test if you actually know God. He says you would love people. And this is what Paul says to people who think that they're growing heaps, but they're not loving one another. He says this: if I speak in tongues, even of men or of angels, but I don't have love, I'm a noisy gong, I'm a clanging cymbal. If I have prophetic powers, and I understand all mysteries. Can you imagine that? I understand all mysteries and all knowledge. And if I have all faith so as to remove mountains, but I have not love, I am nothing. What's the point of it then? If I give up all I have, I deliver my body over to be burned, but I do not have love, I gain nothing. The Christian life hinges on love. So I want us tonight, by the help of the Holy Spirit, to assess our hearts is going, how am I loving people? If the disciples were known by their love, what are you known by? Are you known by your gifts? That's not a bad thing, but are you known more for your gifts than you are for your love? Are you known more for your career than you are for your love? Are you known more about your opinions than you are your love? Your love is the measurement of how you know God, how you treat people, how you love them, how you love them. He goes on to say in that same chapter, 1 Corinthians, we're going to go through a lot of scripture tonight where this theme is present, but Paul then says this: love is patient, it's kind. This is probably what you've heard in weddings, but it applies to every, it's written to believers, to you and I. Love does not envy, it does not boast, it isn't arrogant, it isn't rude, it doesn't insist on its own way. It isn't irritable, it is or resentful, it doesn't rejoice at wrongdoing, it rejoices in the truth. Love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, and endures all things. Love never ends. The impact of love never ends. The result of you loving one another does not have and end. It has eternal impact. As for prophecies, it will pass away. Tongues, they will cease eventually. For knowledge, it will pass away. We know in part, we prophesy in part. But when the perfect comes, the partial will pass away. For now we see in a mirror dimly, but then we'll see face to face. And he says this: now faith, hope, and love remain, but the greatest of these is love. Love. So this is a simple sermon tonight, is to first assess, we're assessing right now, love one another. The scriptures implore us, love one another. If you are known by one thing, Numa, love one another. It's like Jesus pleading and John pleading with us, please, with the community, love one another. Don't be known more so for your opinions. Don't be known more so for all these things that are good, but if it surpasses your love for one another, then it is nothing. So I want to challenge us tonight. How can I grow in love? What does it look like to love my neighbor? This is the measurement of maturity. What does it look like to love people who are annoying? To love people, they lift their hands and they haven't worn deodorant and you're going, oh my gosh. Or the person who sings the loudest and they're out of key, what does it look like to love that person? How can you love them? What does it look like to, this is the invitation. I think if we begin to ponder on these things, you become more Christ-like, way more Christ-like than you think. Love is the hinge on which these things swing. You look at the gifts that Paul lists before, prophecy, it hinges on love, does it not? If I do not love someone, I'm not, prophecy is to lift someone up, fill them with courage, the voice of God to lift them out of their trouble and to speak hope into it, to prophesy over them. If I have no love, what prophecy is that? Paul says, if you do not have love and you prophesy, you haven't prophesied. If I even speak in tongues and I do not have love, he says, you haven't even spoken in tongues. He says, if I have wisdom, I get convicted by this. I love studying scripture. If you know the whole narrative of scriptures, but you forget that the whole narrative is about the love of God, you've missed the narrative of scripture. You've missed it if you do your devotions. If you serve in church and you think it's just to be able to do these things so I can be a good Christian, so I can get married and get wifed up, that's not what it's about. It's not what it's about. It's about loving one another. It's about loving people. Love to not gain for myself, but to love people. Why? Because Christ did that. The disciples were known for their love, not for their doctrine, not for their spiritual gifts, not for even how rapidly churches were expanding, not for the size of their life group, not for the ability to disciple people, anything else, they were known for their love. What are you known for? What are you known for? The marker of the spirit-filled life is not tongues, it is not prophecy, it is not even boldness, it is love. What is the marker of your life? Love is our goal. And so I want to move. Jesus says that two parts to that at the start of his John 13 verse. He says, love one another. And I want to major on this now, is as I have loved you. I want to propose to you this. You do not know how to love if you do not know God loves you. This is a simple message. But if you forget this, you will miss the entire goal of Christianity. The entire goal that God has put you on this earth for in the first place. If you do not know God loves you, you will miss the target. You will run the race wrong. You will grow out, you will grow weary. You will forget. You won't know how to love people. Love does not come from ourselves, but it comes from God. John, 1 John, if we go back to the letter of 1 John, John has something to say about this, as he probably should. The love apostle, but he says this in chapter 3. And in verse 11, he says this, this is the message you've heard from the beginning that we should love one another. Don't be like Cain. He was of the evil one and he murdered his brother. Why did he murder him? Because his deeds were evil and his brothers were righteous. Don't be surprised, blah, blah, blah. He encourages them in a couple of things, but then he says this, verse 16, by this we know love, that he laid down his life for us. Let's pause it there. This is how you know what love is. Any definition of love will not last. The only reason we know the fullness of what love is because of what God has demonstrated to us. God is love. He is love. It's not even an attribute. It's not a thing that he gives. It's himself. Of all of the things, he's powerful, his grace, all of his attributes that you could narrow it down to, he is of one thing, love. Love. If you knew God, you would know this one thing, he is love. And it's meant to fill you with joy. It's meant to fill you with the endurance to love other people. It's meant to stir you to love other people. But if it does nothing else, you need to know, and I implore us today, is to remember and to encounter afreshly the love of God for us. It needs to be rooted in this. You see, our theology of God's love cannot be rooted in a feeling, because his love is not just a feeling. Then it would be limited by our emotion, however amazing that emotion may have felt. It can't even be rooted in encounter, for then it would be limited to the depth of that moment. We must be careful, church, not to think that God's love is dependent on our experience of his love. If you haven't experienced his love in a while, that does not mean his love go up and down, and we know this, but friend, we need to know, as significant as those moments are, they are shallow in depth to base your theology of his love in. If you think God loves me because I felt it one time at the altar, oh friend, it goes way deeper than that. There's layers. I started reading this book recently called Lord of the Rings. I don't usually read books. I'm not that nerdish, guys, okay? Some people, they read this stuff and they're like, they know all these lore and you read stuff. I was talking with my dad about it. And he was telling me how, Matt, there's these levels of like, you read this chapter and you realize that there's lore and there's history and there's things that go way deeper. It's like that. We read things surface level. I've encountered God here. That's why he loves me. No, hang on. There's way much depth to it. Hang on. And the depth of it is this, the cross. If your understanding of God's love is based on anything other than the cross, it won't really last that long. I'm not saying I love encounter, but it cannot be the foundation of your understanding of God's love. If you want to know how God loves you, look to the cross. Look to the cross. By this, we know what love even is. He laid his life down for us. He laid his life down for us. This is our context of love. If you've forgotten it, remind your soul of the gospel. Roman, if you need remembering of the joy of your salvation, remind yourself of the gospel. Read Romans. I read that the other weekend. It just encouraged my heart and I was remembering, oh, this is the reason I'm alive and I'm living for this purpose. If you struggle with conditional love, maybe you feel like you need to earn God's love, read Galatians. We read that in communion this morning. It's not about earning the love of God. It's being received freely. It's a gift. It's a gift. And this is what the whole New Testament argues for, is that this is a gift. It is a gift. It is freely received. But you must abide in it. You must abide in it. Defend it. Defend when your mind begins to wander and begin to think that I'm loved because, let that be removed. Let the because be removed. Let it be because of the cross. Not anything I have done, but it is because of the cross. This is what the early church fought so hard for. This is what the Reformation, if you know any church history, they fought for this. Martin Luther says this one thing. He says that I've got it written down. I was really passionate just then and then I didn't know where the quote was. Martin Luther says this, by faith you're made a son. He was very big on making sure that this is not about your works. This is not about anything you have done to be loved by God. He says, by faith you're made a son. It's free. You're made a son by faith. But he says this, you will recognize a son by their love. Oh, that's the son of God. How do you know? They love people. I don't need to love people to be loved by God. No, it's the other way around. I love people because I am loved by God. But a son and a daughter will be recognized by their love. What are you recognized by? What are you recognized by? So I want to major on this for a little bit. How do you receive the love of God freshly? Well, we partake that this morning. Obviously, there was a wonderful message in communion. We linked the understanding of knowing what Jesus has done on the cross. That is love. That is the definition of love. Knowing that, it impacts you. It is not a doctrine. It is not theory of understanding. It is not something that you just read about, but it becomes personal. Friend, I've read a lot of theology, but I've read few theologians who know they are loved by God. Or they've articulated, maybe they just haven't articulated it that way. This is not an intellectual thing. This is not purely emotional though. It is rooted in the cross and it comes into our experience, and that is the reason we love people. Friend, I want to encourage you today. Have you forgotten that you are loved? Have you forgotten the reason you are loved is not because of you? Have you forgotten the significance of the cross? If you have, John says, you're going to miss the point of Christianity. Some of you said, I started that. I started that way long ago and now I've gone into maturity. No, hang on. If you go into maturity and forget love, you are immature, is what the Bible would say. If I forget where I've come from, no, I don't even know where I'm going. I need Christ as my anchor. I need what he has done as my anchor. That is the reason I love, because I am loved first. Let's go to flick over to chapter 4 again. First John chapter 4, verse 19. We love because he first loved us. Church, I want to encourage you. Do you know you're loved by God? When was the last time you experienced that? When was the last time that what you've read on the pages of the book of Romans or the Gospels or this love of God, the things that you've sung about, when was the last time that became a present reality? Or have you forgotten it? This is where our identity comes from. I think this is the biggest issue that we begin to face in young adults. We see it in youth. We see it in people who never learned this, and they go on to become parents and they become grandparents. For every single stage of life, you need to know the love of God. And that is why the gospel is appealing. That is why Jesus, that is why the church made it this far, because the love of God has reached for people. It's not been about earning. It's not been about performing. It's not about, this is gospel 101. We know this. I'm preaching to the saved. But I want you to remember, this love transforms you. It's a twofold thing. So what do you need to hear today? Do you need to hear the love of God? I'll invite our worship team back. We're going to spend just a couple of moments pondering and praying for a second. But do you need to remember the love of God? Do you feel unloved? Why is that? What are the barriers in receiving his love? Friend, if you do one thing in your journey in Christianity, is learn to be loved by God. Brennan Manning articulates this in his book, Abba's Child. He says that the biggest goal he faced in his life and the most rewarding breakthrough he felt he ever had was this one thing: letting himself be loved by God. Letting himself be loved by God. Had all the excuses. God, I've done this. I'm too hard in my mind and myself. And the goal that he felt the Holy Spirit was doing in him the most for his whole life was this: allowing himself to receive God's love. Friend, are you the barrier? God can fix that tonight. Holy Spirit can renew your mind. He can encounter it. Bible says this in Romans 5, that the love of God has been poured into our hearts by his Spirit. By his Spirit. It is a gift. It has not come from you. But number two, if you know the love of God, John would say, if you knew, you would love. And if you don't love, he says, you don't even know the love of God. If you knew the love of God, then friend, I want to encourage you, love one another. Make a resolve in your heart tonight to love people. Let the Holy Spirit search you. Who am I least loving to? What does it even look like to love people? What does it look like to be patient, to endure in these things, to keep no record of wrongs, as 1 Corinthians 13 taught us? What does it look like to embody these things? It looks like that is the goal of what discipleship is like. That is becoming Christ-like. Friend, I want you to know tonight, if we are known by one thing at Newmar, may it, yes, be spiritual gifts, may it be people getting saved, may it be all these things, but may we be known. That's Newmar, not because maybe even they got healed, they got prayed for, they speak in tongues, they prophesy. No, they love people well. That is how you know Jesus. If you know Jesus, then you must love. If you knew God, what he was like, you would not help yourself but love people. I remember when I first got saved, I started being convinced at youth ministry. I got saved at saved. I think I came back to the Lord then. It's complicated, I feel like. I feel like we all have journeys with that, stuff like that. But I started being convinced that people didn't know that they were loved by God. I started evangelizing a youth group because I was convinced that I was like, well, if it doesn't start here, then it's no use telling my mates. So I started telling, I was like, dude, you're loved by God. And I started telling testimony. I was going, dude, I felt the love of God and I've been reading scripture and I realized that this has got nothing to do with me. This is all about God loved me first and I've received that. And it shaped my life. And suddenly I wanted to love people. I wanted to look to the person that would leave church early and leave youth early and they weren't included, or the person who felt like they had no, like they were on the outskirts, the people who you would walk past, you grew in compassion, it moved me. The love of God moves us. And I wanna ask, have you let it grow dim? Pastor John preached about this last week. Missions is mercy. It's mercy, it's not quenching this flame that love is supposed to grow in our hearts. But friend, I wanna ask you, have you let it grow dim? Fan into flame the gift of God. What gift of God? Love. What are you known by? If a disciple is known by their love, what are you known by? Let it be love.
Thank you for joining us. We hope that you enjoyed today's podcast. And we realize that not everyone has had the opportunity to respond to the good news of the gospel. And for this reason, in all of our services and platforms, we want to extend to you the opportunity to follow Jesus. The Bible teaches us that we have been created for a relationship with God. However, sin, which is essentially disobedience, independence, and disbelief, or us simply missing the mark, entered the world and separated us from God. Romans chapter 6, verse 23 says that the wages of sin is death. And a debt was owed, and the Bible tells us that He, Jesus, demonstrated His love for us, that while we were still sinners, He died for us. Jesus paid the penalty for our sin. John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only Son, that whoever believes in Him shall not perish but have eternal life." God so loved the world that He gave us Jesus, that whoever believes in Him will be saved. All that is required of anyone is that they believe in Jesus, the Son of God, who came, lived, died, and rose again so that we could be forgiven, made right, and given the right to become children of God and to have life forevermore with Him. Today, you can begin a relationship with Jesus. To believe in Him is to simply to respond with faith in our hearts and confess with our mouths that He is Lord. And we do that through a simple prayer. Follow along with me. Dear Jesus, I believe that You are the Son of God. I thank You that You love me and came to forgive me of my sin. I repent from my old way of life and I turn to follow You. I receive the free gift of eternal life and I ask that You fill me with the Holy Spirit so that I can live a life of following after You. I thank You that I am born again as a child of God and that I am a new creation in Christ Jesus. Amen. If you prayed this prayer for the first time, we would love to connect with you and connect you to your next step and the local church in your area. You can contact us on our website at newmar.church. Thanks for listening.